3, 2, 1, go.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Abba.
Hey, Caitlin, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me well, P.S.?
Mm-hmm, I can.
Okay. I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm excited. We have a guest today on our podcast.
We do. We have a special guest today. And we've been doing all of the tech prep to make this work.
Excellent. This is our second attempt at a guest. So hopefully our sound goes well. But I was going to introduce them.
Exactly. Our first guest, P.S., was, for those who might not have heard, was Caitlin's mom. And Caitlin's mom was staying over. And we attempted. And that was a great effort. But today we have someone else with us. So with me in studio this morning is the super talented designer who brings creativity to life with a splash of color and a pinch of imagination. When she's not crafting amazing designs, you'll find her embarking on adventures all over the world, chasing sunsets and sandy shores in Kenya and multiple other countries, and making tomatoes a flavorful psychic to her food and life. And strolling around along picturesque paths for hours, embracing the art of super slow living. But also next to me is a really good friend who I met 2 years ago, who we've been working together. And other than all of the brilliant work that she does, is also one of my favorite witchy people. A legendary Pisces. Pisces rising with big Libra energy, who, when we need to howl at the moon and set everything free, who I send it to, is none other than Muthoni.
Yay!
Blow, 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 blow. Give it up for Noni in the house.
That was the best intro ever.
Thank you, Abba. Hi, Abba. Hi, Caitlin. It's so nice to be on your podcast.
Thank you for joining us on our podcast today. It's your first time on a podcast?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, it's my first time on a podcast.
It's your first time on a podcast. So we were just like remembering a little bit ago, but like when Caitlin and I were first having the conversation on, okay, our next phase of this podcast, we're going to have like multiple guests, and we had grand plans of like a list of guests. And in the first brainstorm that we were doing, you're one of the people who popped up in my head, because I was like, even without like deep clarity on the topic that we might necessarily be discussing, I was just like, okay, there's someone who I really like talking to, and we always have really great conversations. And I love how you think and talk about romantic love.
I love love. Make sure it loves me back.
Yeah. And yeah, so I thought it would be great for us to like talk about love and other things. I mean, love and other drugs. We were talking about love at first sight.
It's like our favorite thing to talk about.
I'm in the right place.
Exactly. So, yeah, I guess we can get started. I think it'll be just like organic, but, you know, we also had some questions, so we can start from there.
Yeah.
So I'll go and then we'll just be going, right? Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, so Muthoni, welcome again to the podcast.
Thank you.
What is love to you?
You just went right in.
What is love to you, and what is your relationship with love currently? What's your love in space?
So I think love is, I mean, of course, we know there are different kinds of love, like agape love and like romantic
love.
What is
agape love? Okay, so Muthoni has also been like feeling and thinking and reading things on love for love. We don't necessarily know your different loves.
Isn't agape love the love of God?
I mean, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the higher kind of love, I think. But I think love is consideration, and love is like an action. It's like doing. Like, I feel like most times when you feel most loved, it's when there's action backed up by it. Like, there's I love you, which is great to say to your friends all the time, but there's like action, like there's like care, there's consideration, there's thoughtfulness, there's some level of sacrifice. And yeah, where am I? That's what I think love is. And I think like love is many things. It's not just that gooey feeling you feel and butterflies in your stomach. I think that's part of anxiety. It's just that we don't let it leave. But I think like deep down, it's just like, I feel like love is an anchor to relationships and like carries relationships. Where is my love life at, or what is love in my life right now?
Yeah.
Love is my child. It's I'm also a mom.
We should have said that in the intro. That's a solid part. We're all moms on this call.
Yeah, and I think like I've grown to understand love more as a mother. And I guess that's a different kind of love, right? Mm. But just the amount of responsibility and care, and I hate to use love to describe the love itself, but that I feel towards my son and that he gives back. Like, I never imagined I could ever be loved like that, like unconditionally and in such an open and trusting way. So it's, yeah. So that's really good love.
Yeah, I always find that really fascinating for parents, how once you cross the responsibility of parenthood, love become like the epitome of love is, I get, which makes sense, the love of the human you've literally created, who is a part of you. And I'm always like, I'm to be honest, I'm always like resistant a little bit because I'm like, no, because I don't have a child now, am I not experiencing love in its truest form? But I hear it in the, you know, the fact that it is the love that, it's love that you're committing to forever love without any expectations from the get.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a different kind of loving. Yeah. Caitlin, do you, I went on a meditative experience where I was thinking a lot about love this last weekend. And honestly, I'm not comparing my pet to anyone's child, but like Peppa was sitting very strongly in my spirit. And I was like, you know what? One of the biggest loves that I have in my life is Peppa right now.
Yeah, like, and I think like even just the bond you have with Peppa, then how you receive that love is more like a child's love.
Has
your, like, how has becoming a mom affected, like, you talked about the way you, like, have unconditional love for your child, but how has becoming a mom, or if it has, like, affected your perception of how you connect with other people or love them, you know, romantically or platonically in your friendships? Has that changed how you kind of navigate your relationships with people who you wouldn't necessarily have that unconditional love for?
Wow, that's such a good question. I think, first of all, like, I mean, I guess you guys should do like a parenthood podcast sometime, but
a parenthood podcast?
Yeah, or like motherhood, or like, because the first year for me was, first 2 years probably, maybe 1.5 years, the very first ones were really difficult for me. And that's because I experienced postpartum depression. And then right soon after that, I was separating with the man that I thought I would spend forever with. But now, this is what, 6 years later, I think, yes, the love I have for my child has really defined and shifted the how I interact and love with other people. And there's a part that my child plays and more like me learning how to protect myself so that I can show up for him in the best ways possible. Because being a very emotional person, then I carry everything everywhere. Mm-hmm. So including like my interactions with him. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, kids pick up things, he would pick it up. Like he would pick up my pain. He would pick up my heartbreak. And so I've really grown to develop like better boundaries with how I love and interact and engage with the world. Mm. Because that's who I'm coming back as at home. Mm. And I want to show up with him as my most authentic self. Mm. So even though it means not pretending and not trying, even though I want to protect him, there's a part of it. I also need to be very aware how I'm engaging and what I'm bringing back, mm. because that's the energy he grows with and he picks up on and he emulates, mm. because now I'm the primary caregiver. So I'm the person he's constantly seeing. So if I'm in constant heartbreaks, mm. it's the energy he'll pick up
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
If I'm not feeling confident, if I'm feeling constantly low, like, and you can immediately see it
mm-hmm.
replicated in his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I even look at the times when I was at my lowest and I was going through relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
He was also really struggling mm-hmm. with his connections, mm-hmm. with showing up, with being the bold mm-hmm. little guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now, especially in the last 2 years, because I've spent like a lot more time in therapy, being very intentional about the self, like not really healing relationships, but just figuring out myself. I feel like I'm very aware of what I'm bringing home. And I really try to work on that. And also having very honest conversations with him at a very young age, so that then he can also understand, like, I mean, life has all these things and I can't always shelter you, but then the realities of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I love that. I was just watching, that's so interesting about like the version of yourself that you bring at home to the people who you love the most, dependent on like what's happening outside in your life. I was actually just seeing this interview. It was a James Baldwin interview with, I can't remember what his wife's name was, but she was talking about, like, you know, the thing where a lot of times people in relationships, it's like, and especially if you're such a big character who, like, people adore out in the world, and she was just saying, like, you put out your best self out there for the people who quote unquote don't deserve it. And you're always smiling and you're happy mm-hmm. and you bring your best energy. And then you come home and I get like the dredges and the worst of it. And he was like, but that's because you're the love of my life. I'm being my real self with you. I'm pretending out there because there's a performance that I have. But she was like, no, pretend for me too. Because, which I kind mm-hmm. of get. It's like, don't be fake with me. But like, if you understand that putting, of course, your most authentic self is saved for the people mm-hmm. who you love the most. And it's why family members cheat themselves in the way they do. You can be your realest right. self with the people who are there for life. But I do appreciate a part of it where it's like, why would you use all of the energy to perform and carve yourself out to be you smile widest at the waiting staff. You're flirtatious with the, you know, you're making everyone else feel good mm-hmm. and they get like a good energy off of you. Why wouldn't you put that kind of effort if you actually love me? Yeah, if your authenticity is only harmful, then
yeah.
leave it outside then. But
right.
you know, which I kind of, you know, I was like, yeah, actually, I'm very pro, don't show me your real self. Just keep me in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. And I feel like, while there's that honeymoon phase, there's less like the same way you want to show up to the world, show mm-hmm. up the same way
yeah.
to me. And like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So not to like dig into that, but you know, like just mentioning even the father of your child was someone who was supposed to be a life partner. What has been, yeah, so I guess not like what happened with that per se, but like what has been the experience of, so were you married to the father of your child?
I was married for 3 years.
3 years?
Married in church.
I walked face is down. Already, what has Budoni been doing married for 3 years in her past?
I know.
Oh my God. I was really married for 3 years. I walked down the aisle. I wore a beautiful white dress. I cried so much.
You were deeply in love.
I was. I think, yeah, I was. I was in love. I don't know yeah. if I was in love or was in love with the idea of marriage. it's still something
you
that...
You want to say something about that? Like, what do you
Yeah, think? I think I really... Now I respect the father of my child as the father of my child. But I think then I was really in love with him. But I was also very in love with the idea of being a wife.
Mm. Where did you get that from?
I grew up in church.
That's one of my biggest fears.
Oh, God. I grew up in church and I grew up hearing this notion of like... The Proverbs 31 woman.
Tell Caitlin. Caitlin doesn't. Caitlin, do you know the Proverbs 31 woman?
Tell me.
She wakes up early. She takes care of her family. She's far worth more than
golden rubies. Okay, so Proverbs 31. Proverbs is what do you call it? A book in the Bible? What is it? A book in the Bible,
I mean,
called
Proverbs. I do know Proverbs. I haven't read the Bible in a really, really long time. So, but I...
Yo también. Me too. But there's this... So, and it wasn't... At least me growing up, I'd not really heard about it. But I feel like there came this like phase in the Protestant world where there was this chapter was really lauded. And it's kind of like... It's a descriptor, which is like a definition of kind of a star woman who is both like about her business. She's the most valuable thing her husband has. She's the wisest person. She dresses super good. She like owns... It's kind of like this queen who...
Oh my gosh.
But is also like the most submissive and the most religious. But she also has like wealth and power. She's kind of like... It's kind of like if women could have it all, it's what a woman is. Okay. But still like has duty of like care and so like there's this whole in at least the Protestant circles where it's like you should aspire to be like, what does it look like to be the Proverbs 31 wife, a woman where you're like a solid wife and you're like submissive and Christian and hold down your family, but you're also like this powerful connector in your community and like the biggest thing that your husband could. Yeah. So wow. I think by the time it got super popular, I'd kind of started stepping away from like regular church things. But I know like my family members, like my mom and my sister have been like in a lot of like, they don't invite me though. So it's also, I'm just like, is it me? You don't want to become a proverb whenever there's this.
You're like, do I not have what it takes?
To say, I used to really look down on it, but as I've grown older, I appreciate just like there's many different versions of being a woman. I appreciate people who are aspiring towards that, even though it's not necessary. Parts of it do speak to me, but a lot of it doesn't necessarily.
Yeah. So I think I really wanted to get married, have a family, take care of my family, love on them, be a wife. Like, hey, I have a husband.
I was going to say, what did like being a wife mean to you? Like in your head when you were like younger and creating this image that you aspired to, like what did that mean to be a wife?
It meant to be, I think for me was like, I take care of my husband. I cook for my family. I work hard, I go to work, I have like a big career for myself, and then I'm home, I'm kicking ass at home, I'm raising 6 children. Please, Caitlin, I'm never.
Are you having any more children, Mudani?
Maybe one more. And I can't believe I'm admitting this publicly.
She's really been like, never, ever, ever, ever.
But yeah, like I think what I used to view marriage as was really more than what my parents had. Mm-hmm. And even though my parents have been married all these years and have remained married and have had their fair share of drama, I really wanted a nice, godly marriage. I can't even paint what that is right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think I got in with, I'm just going to do everything it takes. I never imagined that divorce would be anything I would ever have to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. So I got into that marriage knowing I really had to fight for it and work hard for it. And the problem is I always thought that the woman is the fixer, right? So beyond everything else.
Why did you think that?
I don't know. Like, I think it's a notion from my family and also like church, like women being submissive and that whole submissive woman thing, I used to think that me going back to fix things, me continuously trying to fix the marriage and putting in more and more effort meant that I was really holding it together, right? But you know, the problem with that means that at one point you'll be tired, like you'll crack. You'll just be like, I mean, and I don't think that it happened over one activity, like one day that it cracked. It's over time, like it was just like a slow fade. It's like, I'm so tired of constantly trying to fix things. I'm so tired of the bickering and the back and forth. And then they're coming back to be like, let's resolve this. And as I said earlier, I'm a deeply emotional person. So I feel things times 10. So I just used to weigh so heavy on me.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. We've had this conversation once or twice with my son's dad post-divorce. And we were like, we never had really big problems. But it was the little problems that compounded and were never resolved. And I guess like for me, it's just that thing. Like I think when we talk about something over and over again and nothing changes, then it's, you've backed me up to the wall so far. I'm just like, let me turn around and walk away. So that's what happened. I woke up one morning and I was like, I'm done for good. I'm done. So I went home, I went back to my parents, I packed my child and I went back to
How
my
old
parents
is your son?
He was 1.5 when I went home.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, at that point, you just think about, I just need freedom. Do you know, do you get, like, you just want to set yourself free from this, like, very heavy situation that has been going on for so long. But then, now the grieving process begins. And it's like, you know, when you grieve over someone who's died, you know they are gone and gone. But now you're grieving someone you have to see over and over again. That sucks.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It's like they die all over again. Like you see them and they die again and they die again. And oh man, I think the first 2 years were my hardest because I left and then I tried to reach out to him for us to fix things. And he had moved on. And that was also really, really painful, right? Because you're just like, how is it? You moved on so quick.
We've chosen each other for lifers.
Yeah. And I think like, even the thing that I think hurt me the most, it's not really what we had already built. It was the vision of the future. Because you had chosen this person for life, you know. So you're breaking up with a future that you no longer have control over, right? Damn, that grief was really heavy. But it ends. And
wow. Oof, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love talking about grief, but this is like been put in a way that I've never heard anyone talk about grief like that. And that, whew. What was there a specific point where kind of the grief turned into more like optimism for you for like future relationships? Like what, was it like something that you were, you know, kind of mending the relationship with yourself or just what, I mean, what, is there anything that stuck out at that point to where it changed for you?
I think in 2018, I remember I used to drop my son to school and I used to have every morning I would break down before I leave my room to take him to school. And I would not really be able to talk to him. I was always like I was not as joyful as he was to engage with me. And that week I had noticed, I guess it had registered in my mind, but he was more quiet. he would just hold my hand when we are leaving the house. He would sit in the car seat quietly. He wouldn't try and get my attention. And I remember one morning I woke up and I was like, what am I doing? Mm. Like, I'm losing my child because of my grief. Mm. And I remember putting a sticky note on my mirror and I was just like, you're better than this.
Yeah.
And I wrote, keep moving forward. Yeah. That's all you can do. And so that's when, like, I started to, like, really, like, talk about it in therapy. Because sometimes I just go sit there and cry.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why has God abandoned me? But I think after that, now I really started to talk about it and to talk about, like, me and the parts I played, you know, like, the choices I made and who I wanted to become. So, and then, soon after I was just like, I believe in love. Like, there's no way I'm going to be single the rest of my life. And it's not like revenge love, but it was more like, I really want to give love another chance just because I really have always believed in love. And I feel like love is just like such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, my child turned the page for me.
Yeah. When did you last feel loved?
Woo!
So we're going to have some, I have some questions that I've selected from the ask card pack. This one actually was just what was love. In regards to romantic, you know, your son love is this always consistent.
Deep.
Just like off of the back of that and still believing in romantic love and choosing to fight for your life for the sake of your son. Mm-hmm. But now, like years later, after whatever, and I'm also curious to understand what healing means and looks like for you. But like,
yeah. When did I last feel loved? I think I was in another relationship that ended. Yeah. I think at some point in that relationship, I did feel loved at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Caitlin?
Well, I mean, all sorts of types of love, right?
Romantic love.
I don't know. I'll pass.
It's complicated. Someone sent me a meme the other day for like, millennials are so chaotic. Why were we just putting on Facebook? It's complicated with Mudoni. It's just like, exposing that you're in a situationship, in a love triangle, and you're just like, you know what? I own it. It's complicated. Bring it back.
Oh, sometimes my God.
It's complicated.
Sometimes
it's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't believe
that you'd say it's complicated with whoever it's complicated.
Yeah. And then when you fix things, you go back to we're dating.
Oh my God. I used to just, someone sends you a request for it's complicated. I'm like, you know what? We have gone on 2 dates and I'm kind of seeing someone else accept it's complicated.
That was really a chaotic time in our lives. Like, what were we welding on Facebook?
Ooh, we were 18 and I've been in very complicated relationships. I find it, I think I always just wonder, you know, the, because I feel like in the past, I have been very, especially when it comes to romantic love, when romantic love doesn't go well, which honestly for me doesn't mean when it ends, but like if there's, you know, there's just certain relationships where post it took a long while. It's almost like the relationship is proof for me that love was worth it, so it takes a long while to rebuild that belief and even their willingness to consider going back into it. So I've always been like, especially like, what is the biggest form of like romantic commitment I could ever be in? Like either marriage or a life partnership of sorts, right? Like I'm always just like, I find it so admirable to
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the process of being able to get back into it. I recover quicker now. The old I've grown, so I don't know what that would look like. But mm-hmm. yeah, like just being open to getting back in it. I feel like it's, yeah, first it's a superpower and it's always like rewarded with even like bigger and bigger love. So mm-hmm. I'm always really in awe of people who are able to do it.
Yeah, I love love. But I think like even for me, it's not even in the like saying it. I mean, so many things that like can feel like love to me that I like accept as love, that like the person's not being like, I love you, but like, you know, which I'll take, you know, I'll take, I mean, like platonically too. I've tried to start saying I love you more to friends, but it's so funny that, you know, like initially when I first tried to start doing that more, like, you almost feel weird saying it because you know, you've like almost only said it in a romantic sense or like to your family, if your family is like affectionate, like in that way. So yeah, it's funny like how we don't like verbalize those words as much as I feel like we should, you know, but
yeah, I always wonder about, because I also feel like also as Kenyans, like culturally saying I love you wasn't a thing. So I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I remember when I remember the first time my mom said, and I could tell, like, she'd read psychology. You can tell someone is practicing something.
Yeah.
I remember, like, she dropped me off to school, and I remember it was weird. And I remember being turned around and being like, okay, or something. I'm just like, this is so out of the blue.
You're like, do I say it back?
Do I say I love you back? But it sounds weird because I feel like I even remember the first time in a romantic setting where it's like, I'm practicing how I'm going to say it. Because it's not normal. So in the familial sense, like, we've loved each other for many years, but now you're like saying it out loud. It's like weird. But now, like, I know with my mom, it's been now for many years, like, it's normal, like, you know, when we're on the phone, you always say, I love you. Not with my dad, though. Like, I feel like my dad will say, like, we love you. He's speaking for, like, the collective.
Yeah, of like, you can't be too vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, like, we love you. And I feel like, it was maybe even last year, I think, that I remember, like, in some where he said, I love, and I remember being, like, I was very aware of it. I was like, oh, like, that's, it doesn't, you know, but, like, I think it is nice, like, even though it's, like, again, culturally maybe isn't as common in our setting, but it's also 2023. It has been a lot more common for many years. But, like, showing and expressing, especially platonically, I feel like I'm practicing definitely telling my friends I love them mm-hmm. a lot more, because I want you to know, how do you guys show love? Like, if words, like what you're saying, you receive love in many other ways that is not being told your love necessarily, but, like,
you know. Yeah, I even think, well, for me, like, I definitely am a words of affirmation person, but it doesn't have to be like, I love you. Like, I want to be told in like other ways, which is like, sounds funny. I feel like there are other ways to say I love you too, besides literally saying I love you. So definitely, I just like spend people that I can just like spend time with and like not say anything and just like share the space, like that always is like a real, like, I don't know. I feel very connected to people that I can do that with.
For sure.
I don't know. People, what about you all?
Be bored with together.
Yes.
And you can just lay around and do nothing.
Yeah.
Or you can be in your mm-hmm. own little bubbles and you're fine.
Apart together, like in lockdown. mm-hmm. How do you show love?
I think I'm very wordy, like mm-hmm. with my words mm-hmm. and also like showing up. Mm-hmm. I'm very intentional about showing up and checking mm-hmm. in and being there. I think some of my friends are teaching me, they're very vocal. Mm-hmm. I think maybe they're Gen Z.
Gen Z is wanna be told. I think that is.
Yeah, she's just constantly, I love you. And she's like, say it back.
We love Gen Z.
And she's really taught me how to keep saying it. And she says it all the time. Mm. But yeah, I think also like Caitlin, I'm also a words of affirmation person. Mm. But I also love gifting.
I was going to say, I feel like from observing, you're a big like giver.
Yeah, I give a lot.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
she like bring candy, like Haribo's. Haribo's is a solid love language. She like brings
the she'll gummy bring like bears? A bunch of
candy. Yeah. She'll bring like gummies or chocolate gift. To share. And you can't, everyone's just like, oh my gosh. Like, no one else thought of us before we showed up here. And like, it's like, it's so great. It like changes the energy of the room. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, you feel so considered.
Yeah. And I feel so like thoughtful. Gifts too.
I feel like was something that stuck with me. And we weren't, it was very, was it? It wasn't, it was like 1 year into our relationship, but it was early on. But like when my grandma passed away, and I remember you sending flowers to my house, and I remember being like, oh my, like I didn't, yeah. First I don't receive, no, I did not receive flowers from anyone for that. But I was like, oh my, that's so considerate to like figure out how to go out of your way and like, you know, love people in a way that it actually, you know, I'm a quality time person. I feel like, I like, and I can be, sometimes I worry about it, but I'm also very tactile. So like if someone is like, I have friends who really do not like to be touched, but I'm very, I feel like I'm a toucher, like for, but like that, it also depends.
You actually give good hugs.
I give good hugs.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I love that. I love hugs too. I wish people touched more. Honestly, I think about that every day. Like how.
So she literally loves it. Her hands.
When I think that.
She's a lawyer. But
I mean. But I do. Like, I just. I think, like, being touched is. Like, that's definitely. I mean, I definitely feel love through, like, touch too. And but a lot of people really I agree, like I know a lot of people who don't like to show affection that way, so it's hard to navigate that with people, to be like, can I hug you, like, you know,
are you okay if I place my hand on
I know I know, it's like, it's so funny to like navigate those early like friendships that you're building with people, and like what, you know, what's comfortable for both of you.
Exactly. I know, especially when I'm like loving and like soothing, if someone is hurting, I feel like my hands, my body and my hands is literally what I use. And I remember, so a common work friend, man, like G, he was going through a grieving period, and I remember, like, you know, so I mean, because we're friends from work, and also like men and women, and I don't know what boundaries people have. So, but I feel like, you know, when you're like hurting, that's literally the way I respond, is in a
time. Yeah.
Like kind of being weirded out by it. But then there was a time, like soon after that, when we hung out with a very close male friend of mine. And he was, after that, he was like, Abba, like, I finally understand. Like, you, like the way, like seeing, I finally understand, like, how you're interacting. And like, when I'm not, kind of like checking myself with someone else who I'm very comfortable with, and seeing how I interact with touch, and it was just like, oh, I like, I guess I understand what you were doing. It was a bit weird for me, but like I will a lot of times, and I don't know, especially for like with women, my female friends, like general overall touch, but like with my guy friends, I will touch faces a lot, and it was like, I always feel really weird when you place your hand on my face. Full disclosure, it makes me uncomfortable, but like, like seeing me doing that, it was just like, oh, and you don't notice it. Yeah. Also, when I'm not thinking about it, I don't notice it and I'm doing it, but I'm very like, hello, I like this face. Are you okay with me showing you that I like this face?
I think I'm very cautious with touch.
Yeah.
I love hugs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also awkward. Mm-hmm. Like for a really long time growing up, I used to be just like, why are you touching me?
Like, hold your breath when someone hugs you.
Yeah, like, not even, or even when someone wants to hold my hand. And so I'm just like, how does this work?
Yeah.
But as I've grown up, I really enjoy touch with people I really, like, if I want to show you affection, I'll hold your hand.
Yeah.
I want to sit next to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear it. Yeah.
I've just seen, and there's a question here that says, I'd read it wrong actually, now I'm seeing it correctly. It says why, not who, but it says, why are you or are you not in a relationship?
I'd read Who Are You in a Relationship. Completely different.
We're gonna throw someone under the bus today.
If you're comfortable.
I am not in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Why am I not in a relationship? I'm doing a lot of self-work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't think I've met... maybe I've met them. I mean, fair enough. I would want to be in a relationship. But I feel like just a few more things that I still need to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely want to get into a relationship soon.
Yeah. You love being in a relationship.
I think I thrive in a relationship. Yeah. But also it's like Libra energy.
I actually
thrive more in a relationship when I have the support and I'm loving someone. I just feel like I have purpose.
That's so interesting. My good friend and business partner is also, she's always like, Abba, how do you go through, like, she doesn't understand how I can go through seasons where I'm single for like 2 years yeah. or like something. She's just like, cause she's just like her best self and like, she's so energized when she's in a relationship and she's always in a relationship and especially when she's always trying to get me in a relationship and the whole thing is just like, I just want you to feel like this big love that I'm feeling. I want all of my friends to feel it. And I'm like, but I am feeling happy and love right now. But she's just like, the version of her, like, kind of, like, actualizing her fullest self is, like, the version of herself within the context of a relationship.
Yeah.
And I get that if there's people who thrive really well outside of a relationship, it totally makes sense that there's people who thrive their peak within a relationship. Yeah. And especially when you're being loved the way you want to be loved and you're loving how you want to love, right? Mm. Yeah. You, Caitlin, or I, no comment on why you're not in a relationship or why you're in a relationship? I'm not in a relationship.
Well,
I'm open to being in a relationship. All of my Sufi tarot cards recently are talking about relationships. They're talking about like securing my bag only for like a year. And in the last few weeks, it's shifted to like relationships. Which makes sense,
my Libra rising. And a lot of, you're a Libra.
I'm a Libra rising.
Yeah. A lot of, like, right now, the energy for Libra risings is actually to get into a relationship.
Are you joking?
Like, your friendships and your relationships are going to thrive.
And my friendships have been, like, bubbling over the top recently.
Yeah. Oh, am I going to find some good luck? I'm open. I mean, I don't know. And I don't know if, like, this component of myself is, like, if it was a response to something in like my childhood or like my life, or it's just how I was kind of created as a human being. Mm-hmm. But I've never necessarily been someone who's like, at least since I was maybe the last time I felt like that was in my early teens, where I'm very drawn to like being in a relationship. I do have desires for it. I feel like I'm drawn to being in relationship with a specific person if I end up like being into them, but I'd, there's very few times that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really craving a relationship. But like this year or like recently, I feel like I'm interested in like exploring that version of like love and the version of myself that I meet within that space. And also it's fun. Like being in love is just fun. And like
I'm interested so in like fun. Having fun in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Caitlin?
I am in a relationship. Ava's laughing because she watched this all play out. But yeah, it's, you know, it was kind of accidental, but those are always the best ones when you're like not looking for anything. And, you know, it just ended up turning into something and it's been really nice. So I'm navigating that now.
I'm so happy for you.
Oh my God. Asia says she's beaming.
Yeah, you know, like, it's, you forget, like, I feel like we've talked about this before, Abba, like, when you are, like, when you go through a breakup or when something, like, some, like, difficult portion of your life you got to weather, like, you kind of forget how good it feels to, like, be falling for someone and how good it feels to kind of like navigate a relationship with a new person and you kind of get to meet like a whole different side of yourself that is like kind of like lighting up with that person. So I really like that. It's early on, but it's nice.
We're into it.
Yeah,
amazing.
And I think like for the first time, I think in my life, because I've always craved, like, I want to be with someone. So right now, it's not really that deep craving. It's like, if it happens, I want it. It's okay. But at this point, I'm okay being in this space that I am in, right? And so that's so different than who I've always been, like, your friend, Kagure. Like, I... Jeez, I'm just like, we are not in a relationship. So now it's just like, I'm really amazed by how, I'm just like, if it happens, it happens. But I really want to also be very intentional about how I give and receive love. And then I also, to some extent, like, I really want accidental love.
Yeah.
And I want it to be someone who we grow and get a deep friendship. So it's just like, I don't know. Like, you know those people who drop something and someone picks it up? And it? I was just like, stupid things like that. And then...
to all the boys I've loved before.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love that movie.
I love it. Yeah. I hear you. I feel like, definitely for me, I do. I am, and even more so in my life right now, I'm very deliberate about, like, building familial and friendship love and putting in it the energy, and I'm aware of just how much it feeds my spirit. So I'm also acknowledging that there is like a lot of like beauty and like I feel like as long as for me love is what expands, like a good partner, if you're going to you expand my view, my experience of being alive, how I represent, how I present within myself, but like, so I think I do get my resistance, or my resistance in the past towards certain versions of romantic love has been, I feel like a lot of times it's a love that like confines. And so for me, I'm very interested in the version of love that would be expansive. And I think it is a desire of mine for sure. And maybe it will be a meet cute, like, for to all the boys I've loved before, that dropping a paper. But yeah,
that reminds me of. Do you know that? I don't know, but when I was younger, I think one time I got a gift as a toy that was like a starfish, but it was really small. But I needed to put it in water, and over time it grows and becomes bigger and bigger. And I feel like that's what love does. Like good love just allows you to fully expand and grow and be your best self. Like that starfish I had as a pet.
Here's to all of us being pet starfishes. And expanding more and more when nourished and watered with the right kind of love.
Yes.
I love it. I've really enjoyed this conversation with you.
Me too.
And we have to bring you back again. Let's talk about parenthood. We don't really know a lot of parents, to be fair. And especially parents who their lifestyles are pretty like similar and relatable to ours as well. So we should talk about that sometime.
We should. Yeah. I have a question though.
Yeah.
Do you guys think... that relation, okay, love expires, and is it okay? Oh, as in, do you get?
I totally get. I'm thinking, yes. I hear you loud and clear.
Yes, I have thoughts on this. Okay, this is also coming from someone who's obviously never been married and never been in a super, super, like, you know, I've never had like a 10-year relationship or anything like that, but I have always kind of functioned in my relationships thinking that like is more important than love, for me in my relationships, because it's like, I think it's super easy, not always, but it's like, it can be easy to like love someone and to fall in love and like, but I think for me to be like committed and want to continue a relationship, even when like the love fizzles out in a way, at least like the exciting part of love, right? That I have to like genuinely like the person so much. And like, that's what like, I feel like keeps me in a relationship. So I do in a lot of ways. Like, I think like just to generally care about a person is always there. But I think like the love that we associate with like passion and excitement, I think that definitely expires.
Yeah.
Is what I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, yeah, I mean, I agree. And for me also with the, I guess liking is the way you're capturing it. But like, for me, that's been the reason why I don't really know how to date someone who I don't feel like I can be your friend, or I wasn't your friend first. I know that is tricky because people are always like, marry your best friend. And Mudan is like, no.
I married my best friend. Well, guess where we are at? I mean, happily co-parenting, but okay.
Exactly. But no, like, so I'm not of the mindset, even whenever people are like, oh my gosh, my partner is my best friend, and in the vows they always say, I'm just like, no, I have other friends and it's okay. I don't think my partner needs to be my best friend at all, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, sorry, this guy just showed up 2 years ago. What do you mean this is your best friend? We are best friends. But I think there has to be a certain baseline level of friendship. And I guess for me, expiring love, let's say my view, a relationship like my parents', which is not perfect, but is one that I look up to. There, mm-hmm. again, the fizzle, the fire is, you know, I don't know what fire looks like when you're pushing 70, right? But like,
yeah.
I feel like there's a deep friendship, and also like, it's more of a deep commitment to the life that we have chosen together, and we are willing to show up for it no matter what, and kindness. And that, I feel like, mm-hmm. for me, that is sufficient.
Yeah.
Because when I think of, yeah, a super long-term partner, like for 10 years and over, which I've never experienced that kind of relationship as well, I don't imagine it's because I'm heady with love for this person.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like for me, even the reason why I've never been necessarily fully in a relationship of that kind is because I'm not fully convinced that we are on the same page in the future that we want to build together, and not right. like the style of it, but like I need surety that you're committed to our future together, but also we'll treat each other. Don't bring me back the dredges of who you are. Don't show me mm-hmm. too much of your real self. A little bit of both those two things.
I think even the work that you put in, like the deep work that you put in and the commitment, I think that also goes a long way to beyond the love, because you could love me and you say, because I'm the love of your life, you're bringing back your worst at the end of the day because I am supposed to take it. But actually, you should be trying to bring me the best of yourself above everybody else. So yeah.
But I do wonder about the freedom in romantic love to bring the worst self and know it'll be taken anyway. I've not experienced that kind of relationship yet. I'm curious about it. I'm always like trying to a little bit test.
I don't know that I want my worst self to come out in general.
Because it's literally your worst self.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want anyone to accept that.
I know, right? You should respect yourself and not accept my worst as well. What do you mean?
I'm wondering where would you then reveal your worst self?
If not to the people you love. I feel like it is your family. But like, what is your worst self? Yeah, I feel like there is a certain, you say, let's say the most impatient version of myself, the when I'm not trying to be, because you're not always nice. But even to my family, who I know will stick around forever, still, I'm not like, I'm not bringing an insane, horrible version of myself. Why would you do that? I also never understood that. People who talk super carelessly to their family members and stuff. It's just like, no, I actually love you and I'm willing to like...
And then you're super nice out
here. Yeah, why are you nice to everyone else and you're like really mean to your parents? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, but it is... Yeah, there is freedom in it, but... Cool!
Shall we wrap it up there, girl?
Yeah, I guess it's my bedtime.
Girls, guys, and NBs. Oh my gosh, Caitlin, what time is it?
Almost midnight, but it's okay. I'm like really proud of myself right now. This has been such a great conversation.
It really has been.
Thank you guys for inviting me. Please invite me again.
Of course. Yes. We will.
And thank you for coming so early and being at my house at the crack of dawn.
My gosh.
And like, for George for showing up even earlier to make sure we don't completely botch having a guest.
What a team.
What a team. Cheers.
Okay.
Thanks
Bye.
For Dani. Bye, y'all. Enjoy the Aquarius moon.
Oh yes.
That I'm soaking. And the Venus retrograde, allow your relationships to flourish.
Yes.
Or fall apart.
Or fall apart. Bye.
Okay, bye.